Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host Matthew, and today I'm here to do another film review. This is for one of the big ones of the year. It's the 2025 not only Superman reboot, but DC's next cinematic universe reboot for the DCU. Superman written and directed by one James Gunn. Let's start off spoiler free, go to our rating system. We've got strong must see. Don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip. I don't know that since I've come up with this rating system, which has been about a couple of years now, that I've ever consumed a piece of media, so a show, a game, or a film, and struggled this much to pick one of my rating systems. I'm going to go with a don't skip and a 7 out of 10. a don't skip and a 7 out of 10. This is a bit. This was just. I'm going to still be thinking about this film even after I, you know, record, edit, upload, publish, and promote this podcast. And both for the point of figuring out how much I actually like this film, or if I do like this film, or if I don't like this film. Which I tried not to do too much of while I was actually watching it. Sometimes it's better to try to do that thought process after you've seen the film from beginning to end. I don't know that I've been, or at least it's been a very long time, let's say specifically for films, that I've watched a film and been so conflicted about my own, like, feelings towards it. Ultimately, what did I land on? If you say, okay, do I like this film? Sure. Yeah. Maybe. do I think this is a good film? Sometimes. Sometimes. I wasn't sure what to say, and it's weird because how much you like something could be determined by your thoughts going into something, right? Are you excited? Are you not looking forward to something, but you're going to give something a chance? Or you're really, really excited for something and it's not as good as you thought? You know, there's a lot of different levels to this kind of thing. And yes, it all involves stupidly overthinking, but that's the reason that we're all here, isn't it? To do this, you know, the way that we do all this kind of thing. There's enough good stuff here that I overall liked it. There's large chunks of this film that I do not like and do not think works at all. There was a number of times while watching this film that I was in the moment with a scene, let's say, and I'm like, I really like this bit. This bit's doing what it's trying to do, and it's doing it really well, and I'm having a good time. And then there's certain creative choices that are interjected, and you can see, obviously, James Gunn's fingerprints are all over this film. Obviously, he wrote it and directed it, and he's the studio head. Now, not every DCU film is going to have James Gunn's fingerprints, because he's not going to write and direct every film, because that doesn't work that way. But yeah, there's sometimes, and this has happened in Peacemaker at times, it's happened in the Guardians films, it happened in Suicide Squad, like his comic book material. And sometimes I was like in the moment watching a scene that I was actually quite enjoying. I was like, right, I want more of this. I want this film to try to maintain its momentum. And it couldn't quite maintain its great momentum through long stretches. But anyway, I would be in the moment watching a scene and go, right, this is really great. I'm really liking what you're doing in this particular part. And then there's just like a choice that's injected. And it's not the case of, oh, that was a bad choice. I'm just sometimes like, why did you do that here and there and here and there? And it was almost sort of like James Gunn was getting in the way of himself sometimes. or this film was getting in the way of itself sometimes. Cause I don't even know if it's necessarily a case of, okay, for all the scenes I didn't like, could you cut them down, delete some of them? You couldn't really do that, because it's not necessarily a choice of, it's not necessarily a case of some of the scenes I didn't like could have been, you know, erased from the film. It was more just the creative choices within them. There was honestly like a, there's a period in like the second half of this film, or roughly the second half of this film, as it was kind of hurtling towards the end. And I don't know the last time I experienced a film like this, that literally I felt like it was flipping between good scene, bad scene, good scene, bad scene, good scene, bad scene. And I don't know how James Gunn did that or why, but I imagine myself sitting next to him. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to try to come up with a metaphor for you try to explain how you feel about something, right? Now imagine I'm sitting next to him. He's going, right, I'm going to write this next bit. I go, oh, that's really, really good. And then he goes, what about if I try this? I'm like, no, just don't do that bit. He goes, right, I'll go back to doing this bit that was good before. Cool, good. Keep on that and try to keep on that track. But what about if I do this? No, don't do that. No, don't do that. It was like, it kind of just kept swinging back and forth. It was very strange. Now, in my preview podcast for this film, and in a couple of the trailer talk things that I did for this film, one of the things I pointed out was that the film just, both visually, tonally, and in most other ways, was just coming across as very odd. Whether it was a line choice, a tone choice, a lighting choice, or just a general feeling of it. Now, I have come away from this film thinking, okay, there's big chunks of this, well, not big chunks, there's certain chunks of this film that do come across as very odd, but not in the same way that I was trying to explain and describe. Like, that kind of, the goofy, odd-looking parts, as well as other bits, because surprise, surprise, the film looks better on screen than it does on a compressed YouTube video. So there's that as well. I'm not necessarily talking about CG or lighting. I'm just talking about a very general feel. But where I feel this film just comes off as odd sometimes, and where things just don't work, is just within those, like, we're going to do this. And it was, again, it wasn't an issue for me of what the characters were doing in certain scenes. It was the way and the creative choice of how certain things came off. It's like, okay, I see what you're trying to do. I just really don't like the way that you're trying to do something. And then James tried to do something else, a much better scene, and I really liked the choice of how we did those. And just sometimes literally having those scenes back to back to back to back for like what felt like 20 minutes was really just odd. And I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm like, do I like this film? Do I not? I just really don't know. But again, as I said, having come away from seeing, you know, the 2 hours, 10 minutes, whatever it is, I would say I just about like it. Because there's enough good here that kind of, once the good was happening, and happens in long enough stretches, that I liked those bits enough. And I am very curious, now that you've set up this DCU, where things go from here exactly, because again, you're going to have different writers, different directors, different choices. There's going to be a cinematic universe, but you're going to have different things between different films. You can't do a Batman film like this. Now, I know it's supposed to be, was it Brave and the Bold, Andy Muschietti, so it's not going to be James Gunn, so it will be a different thing. Because there's a very, I won't call it weird, there's a very, very curious and interesting mixture in this film of MCU DNA, James Gunn DNA, DC's DNA, did I say Guardians of the Galaxy? That, like, there's like the DNA of Guardians of the Galaxy, the MCU, Marvel-esque jokes, and like tonal punchline stuff. But then still, there's still enough of a DC feel in here to where it feels just about, and I mean just by the skin of its teeth, just about balanced enough. And it was kind of very interesting because I don't remember, is it the Suicide Squad? Because I only watched one episode of Peacemaker and I didn't like it at all. I don't remember the Suicide Squad feeling like that. But then again, Suicide Squad and something like Superman need to have kind of different tones. But the kind of, not fluffy, but light-hearted, hopeful, humorous kind of bits, those are in there and they work better than I thought they were going to. But then there are certain, there's more of a percentage of that that works and that doesn't, but when it doesn't work, it's like, oof. Yeah, that was 10 minutes on how I feel about the film. Let's talk about some other stuff, because there's just so many interesting, curious, odd, good, bad bits and pieces of this film this was a very interesting one to kind of just figure out, I suppose. What was the thing I was going to talk about? I usually like to talk about things like pacing and structure, which the pacing, the structure, and the flow of this film. The flow of this film is just very weird, because I literally felt like, as I said, yeah, you had back-to-back good and bad scenes, and I was just, my mind was just a bit muddled by that. The actual pacing of the film, I think, is pretty good. You essentially jump in here, and you get, like, tiny pieces of Superman's origin, but not, like, the Kryptonian stuff. Obviously, there's references to it and all that sort of thing. There's that. And then when other characters show up, because of course there's a few of those, it feels like you let's say you skipped the pilot episode and the second episode of a TV show, and it's like, right, you've established the character's origin and like a bit more, but you start with the next bit, which I thought was fine. Actually, I actually quite liked that, because I don't really, because of how exhausting DC itself has been over the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years, with some things I've really liked, I don't necessarily, like, you need to build out the universe in a certain way, but it doesn't mean you have to fully introduce every character, especially Superman. Like, we know who he is, you know, the sort of Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, we all kind of know what's going on there, right? But it feels like you're jumping into a world that's been, a world of characters that's been established for 6 months to a year or so. But I actually thought that worked pretty well. Granted, if you don't know some of these people, like Guy Gardner and Hawkgirl and Mr. Terrific, I don't know if that will be a problem for people, because you get a gist of kind of who they are. But then you can always sort those character bits out in like other films. But I didn't feel like Guy Gardner, Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, and Mr. Terrific, they don't really get like introductions per se. They do kind of just show up, but I actually, like, it did sort of, oh, they're here kind of thing. It like threw me off ever so slightly, and then I just, you know, was just right in there with them. So that was pretty good. The structure of this film is pretty decent. I would say the pacing of it is better, and the flow of this film, so how those two bits stitch together, is odd, curious, and interesting. I don't know if it's good, bad, or whatever, but it's odd, curious, and interesting the way that this film flows together with its structure and with its pacing. But the pacing is very good. I didn't feel like I was sort of waiting for things to happen, or, you know, tapping my feet, as they say. I wasn't really doing that. So that was that. Those three parts of it were right. Let's talk about performances as well, because there's some really, really good ones in here. Let's briefly go through the cast list, which we'll be doing in a minute. But just to point out performances, let's talk about the man himself, Superman, Clark Kent, Kal-El Clark Kent, Superman, David Cornsweet. He was not my favorite performance in the film. I don't think what David does with this role is bad, but I wasn't really sold on his Superman. Now, when I see certain comic book characters that I know are very, very, very strong, and in the moment in certain scenes they're not being as strong as what I think they should be. Whether the director or the writer's got a different vision in a certain scene as to what I expect from a character is a different kind of issue. But there were certain scenes in here, like when he's fighting, when he's, you know, moving around, when he's, certainly when he's lifting stuff. There's a lot of Superman lifting things in this film. And I think he's supposed to be painted as kind of, he's been Superman for a little while, like a year or so. So he's kind of still finding some ropes. Of course, you're always going to be learning things and whatever else. And he is painted as a slightly kind of younger Superman. He still wasn't quite as strong as I wanted him to be in certain scenes, and that bugged me a little bit. It did bug me. Because even when you do have someone like a Superman, who's obviously an incredibly strong being, and whether it's the case of he's still young, he's still learning the ropes, he's not been doing this, you know, 5-10 years, he's been doing it about a year or so, I just still expected in certain scenes for him to be a bit stronger than what he was. I do mean physically stronger than what he was. I sometimes got the part of like the symbol of hope from him and that sort of thing, so that came off relatively well. But because one thing, like when I was on my way home, I was like, okay, how much time should I spend comparing this to previous iterations, because that's a very default thing to do, and I know that could annoy certain people. And granted, we haven't had a solo Superman film for 12 years, which is a bit crazy. Obviously, Man of Steel. So he's not my favourite Superman, and I haven't experienced all of them yet. I haven't watched every Superman film, but I just wanted a bit more there. Whether it was the Clark Kent... the Clark and Lois relationship is kind of decent. But that wasn't really one of my, I guess, focus points. But him as Clark was alright, and him as Superman was alright. I just wanted a bit more. And continuing to look on this film, obviously, as I'm sitting here reviewing it, I can definitely see how this first film gives you a stepping stone to a sequel that, well, should be better, and should like iron out a few of those issues, have Superman be a bit stronger. Because I was watching him fight this big alien, I can't remember what it was called, in this film. And I was like, okay, I couldn't, if this guy went up against, like, Doomsday right now, you know, from Batman vs Superman, I wouldn't see him doing well against, like, a Doomsday right now. Certainly not, like, a Darkseid or a Steppenwolf. So there was that element. So, overall, I thought he was okay. I think there's room to work with some things there with him. But yeah, I didn't think it was terrible, but he definitely wasn't, he wasn't really a standout to me. So, two which are written here back to back, I'm using the Google list here. Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane. She was excellent. She was absolutely fantastic. Now, in terms of Lois Lane as a character, obviously I've seen the one from Superman and Lois. I've seen Amy Adams version in Man of Steel and the other two films that she was in, and a few of the other iterations. She's probably my favourite one, Lois Lane. Now, in terms of like my expectations for Lois Lane, I hadn't really had them set necessarily, but she did what I would like her to have done, like as that character, and I thought she really quite stood out in this film. But I'm kind of somewhat familiar with Rachel's work. I've seen like a few episodes of Marvelous Miss Maisel. I need to go back and watch that show, where she was really good. So I thought she would be pretty good for this role. I wasn't sure what her Lois was going to be like, but she's a clear standout here to me. I think she's the second best actor in this film, next to somebody else I'm going to mention in a second. But no, I thought she stole most of the scenes that she was in. She was really, really good. And, I liked her a lot. However, not to throw any shade at Rachel, because, again, she was fantastic, Nicholas Hoult as Lex Luthor, phenomenal, just phenomenal. I'm, again, kind of familiar with some of his work. I've seen him in a few different things. Now, I don't really think, again, when you get new iterations, it's like, oh, is this one better than this one? Is this one better than this one? I've grown to like Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor quite a lot, the more I kind of rewatched those films and understood that version of that character more. I think these are the two least comparable in terms of Jesse Eisenberg and Nicholas Holt, because I think they go for two different things. However, what Nicholas, and I think Jesse Eisenberg's fantastic as well. But yeah, there was something that Nicholas was doing with his performance, and there's that one scene in the Lex's office or whatever it is. Superman flies in at one point. There's a clip of it online, and he breaks into Lex's office, and there's a sipping of some coffee or some tea scene where he's talking about the dog. Oh, he was just fantastic. He really, really was absolutely fantastic. He felt like a genuine threat. He felt like he was just, you know, had all the cards all the time. Probably one of the best performances I've seen on a screen this year. He was absolutely fantastic. So big credit to him. And again with Lex, like with Clark and with Superman, because I feel like I know that character a bit more than, let's say, Lois and Lex. With Lois and Lex, I just wasn't sure what I was wanting or expecting, and I was like, okay, just let the iterations play themselves out on the screen. I'll see what they're like, and I really liked and ended up liking both of them. So, but damn, he's really, really fantastic. Millie Alcock as Supergirl, I say has a smaller role, was quite interesting. And I'm curious to see more of that character, but there's not as much to talk about there with her. Isabella Merced as Hawk Girl. Of course, she also played, worth noting, Dina in Last of Us Season 2. She was really, really good. Really, really enjoyed her a lot. You didn't see... because out of the three, there's like this little group of... They are talking about what their nickname should be, which is Green Lantern, Hawk Girl, and Mr. Terrific. Out of those three... It's probably Mr. Terrific, Guy Gardner, then Hawk Girl for actual screen time. I don't feel like we got as much with Hawk Girl. And when the three of them were talking, she was probably talking the least. So I just got the least from her. But I liked all three of them. They were all quite good. I will say, I don't know if it was a budget thing or whatever, but because I know Mr. Terrific from Arrow, of course, the CW show, which we podcasted on. They have clearly held that character back in that TV show, because he is really quite capable of some interesting things in this film. So I don't know if it was a budget thing or what it was, but he's capable of a lot more than the Arrow version. Not to put that one down, because that one was, it was good for what it was on the CW. Of course, this is a high budget, you know, film. But yeah, clearly showed more of what he can do there. Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern, or Guy Gardner. I should mention, who is it actually played? Eddie Gathergi, who played Mr. Terrific, just to actually mention his name. I've seen Green Lantern here and there. I don't think I've seen this version of Green Lantern before. Well, not say this version, this Green Lantern, because obviously there's different ones. It was alright. Yeah, it was fine. Like, I thought that group of three was good, and clearly Mr. Terrific's supposed to be the big standout there. And I'm curious to see more of Hawk Girl as well, because I'd like her to have more screen time. But I don't know, something about Guy Gardner didn't click with me. There was some good lines and stuff that he delivered, and some good scenes and some things like that. But I don't know, something about this character just didn't really click with me. So, whatever. And that's pretty much, I'm not going to go through the whole cast, but those are sort of the main cast of this film. I want to talk about writing for a minute as well. So there's some stuff in here that's pretty well written, some quite good scenes. There's one that I want to point out, and I'm not pointing it out just to be particularly negative, but it just... I was a bit bewildered by it. There is a scene where Lois is trying to interview Superman, and it sort of like doesn't go. It's the one that you see in the apartment building, and they're talking about this war situation with this other country, I thought Rachel and David did everything they could with that scene. I thought that was probably the worst written scene of this film, and probably the worst directed. I'll tell you why that is. It's because, now I don't mind argument scenes, especially obviously politically charged argument scenes, but it felt like there was no control in that scene whatsoever. It started out okay, and then they go back and forth, and she stops and starts the recording because it's on and off the record, and I just, like, the beginning of that scene was okay, and the ending of that scene was okay. The middle of it, I thought, really just totally lost its way. If you haven't seen the film, you'll know what it is when you start the scene. Don't get me wrong, there's other bits in the film, again, that I didn't like, but that was just one that stood out of... Again, I'm very interested in both their viewpoints on what this is going on here. But, the scene ended and I was like, okay. I wasn't really sure what I was even supposed to, apart from, you know, the trust between the two of them and, you know, journalistic integrity and things like that. I'm not sure what I was supposed to take away from that scene. I almost wanted to watch the scene again because I watched it and I was like, the scene's just losing me the further it goes on, so I wanted to mention that. I want to talk about and I can talk about it in a spoiler-free sense. There is a third world country, kind of, and there is a war and a political storyline. Now, when they first brought this up in the trailers and things, and I did the preview for it, and I said, okay, that could be a good idea, but I want to know why that's actually in this film. What's the actual purpose of it? And that was one of the things that kind of just... It just stuck out as almost being like a second... Like a completely separate part of the film. And I just wasn't sure in the preview, obviously, before I'd seen the film. Like, how it actually fits in and what its purpose is and all that sort of stuff. I ended up quite liking that. I ended up quite liking that a lot. Again, minus the weird interview scene where the two of them are actually talking about it. Because that gets brought up. Or things related to it get brought up. Like, the reason that's in here and the sort of political motivations and how all those bits added together. And I started to see the puzzle piece of that forming as this film was going on. And I thought that was actually pretty good. I thought that was really quite good. So overall, I was quite happy with that. Should I talk about the fighting scenes? Because there's just so many bits of this film that are swirling around. I know I've done a 27-minute spoiler-free section here. But there's just a lot to talk about. And I have a lot of just... thoughts and feelings swirling around in my head. I thought the action at some points was good, and at some points very quickly switched somehow between this is really quite cool, and then this bit looks really goofy, this bit looks a bit weird, now it's back to being really good. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the fight scenes. But when it's good, it's really, really good. Like some of the fight scenes. I won't spoil some of the moments because some of them are not in some of the trailers. The one that I do have to point out, though, I can't help but point out, the one that you do see in the trailer where the guy gets his teeth punched out and they hit the camera and bounce off, that's still really goofy. I wish that had just been cut out of the film, honestly. They edited part of that, part of it to do with crypto. But... I kind of sensed it was coming up because the framing started lining up with the scene that I knew was what could be in there. That was still a bit goofy. I couldn't help but like in The Flash, which was what, 2 years ago, the film, and that film was pointed out of having like some goofy action parts. It reminded me of that, so that should have just been taken out of the film. This is another one where Superman gets kicked in a certain way. That came off a bit goofy as well. So the action was generally just like a mixed bag to me. Some of it came off really well. Some of it was a bit silly. Some of which I felt was a bit weak just from Superman himself. I felt like he should have been fighting better in certain scenes. And then other bits that were just happening. So... take all that for what you will, I guess. Talk about Crypto himself, I've not mentioned him. I ended up quite liking him. I ended up quite liking him. I mean, Superman's got absolutely no control over him whatsoever. But I couldn't help, as a dog owner, you may have heard my dog in the background on certain podcasts, can't be helped. Certain dog mannerisms and behaviours just reminded me of things I can relate to. And I thought that was quite good. But Crypto was an interesting addition. Helped out in certain scenes, didn't in some others. I like the whistle mechanic. I thought that was pretty good. So, because I wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure how Crypto was going to come off in this film. But one of my, not favourite parts, but one of the parts I liked a lot more. So, that was quite good. Yeah, I know there's still a lot to talk about in the spoiler section, by the way. So, is that all my thoughts on Superman? Spoiler free? I think so. Yeah. If it was anything, it was certainly interesting. Because it just had a lot of difference, just a lot of different things going on in this film. And it had me feeling a lot of different things. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, and it'll be very, very interesting to see kind of where I think Supergirl is supposed to be next. Millie Alcock's Supergirl next year. But yeah, very curious to see where this DCU goes after this. Because this is a good first kind of like stepping stone, I think, for things to come. So, we shall see. Yeah. Alright, that's my spoiler-free thoughts on Superman. If you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this film, if you were as confused, delighted, intrigued, curious, and interested as I was, let me know your thoughts and feelings. I'm sure we've all got a lot of thoughts and feelings. MatthewWoodEntertainmentTalk.org, Twitter, social media, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on EntertainmentTalk.org for TV, games, films, and Marine Eye podcasts. You can support us by listening to more episodes. Of course, there's things like Gaming Talk. Just reviewed South of Midnight on the Xbox Series X. Really, really enjoyed that. The United Cast will be back soon. There's other film reviews I've done. Of course, there was Jurassic World Rebirth, which I reviewed, things like Warfare, 28 Years Later, what was the other recent comic book film, Thunderbolts, which I loved, so that was great. Of course, speaking of comic book films, Fantastic Four is out, technically next, it'll be out during the week, but next weekend, so I'm really looking forward to that as well. So those are some film reviews. There'll be more TV season reviews on the way as well. I need to do a few of those. Gaming Talk will be continuing, so look out for more of those, and then other podcasts at other points, so we'll see what goes on with all of that. Anyway, yeah, like I said, if you want to support all the things that we do, listen to more of them, share them around, word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions something we've podcasted on, I'm sure somebody that you know will mention Superman, or either have already mentioned it or will. So if you come across those conversations, please mention this podcast as well. But yeah, if anybody else mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio should be back soon. I don't know when David's back from holiday, but that should be back soon. But you can always go to geektown.co.uk for your TV and film news posts, so look out for all of those. And you can also find us on YouTube for, there's a lot of Astrobot videos for my times that I set and things like that. So look out for all those as well as some other things. Anyway, thanks very much for listening and I'll see you on the other side in the spoiler section. But for spoiler free people, thanks for listening and I'll see you next time. But for spoiler people, I'll see you on the other side for the spoilers. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Koalu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Koalu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Koalu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen the 2025 DCU James Gunn written and directed reboot of Superman, that was a lot of things. If you've not seen this film, of course I'm going to be spoiling it, and there is some interesting spoilers to talk about here. So, go see the film. I lightly recommend it. Certainly very curious and interesting one, so take from it what you will when you see it. So if you haven't seen it, you're going to want to leave now. But if you've seen it, welcome to the spoiler section. What should we talk about first? I want to talk about the third country, third world, whatever it is. Whatever we want to call this storyline, the war storyline. So I did quite like how... Because my question going in was, okay, Superman can obviously hear people from, you know, around the whole planet, and people can call to him, and obviously he can go to this country or this place if help is needed. And that wasn't actually what ended up happening. What ended up happening is Lex Luthor's using that as a political distraction to have an excuse to kill Superman, which I found very interesting. And then you have this leader, whose name I can't remember, this gung-ho leader of this country who's just not a good guy. He's not a good guy at all. But it's the whole Lex Luthor angle of the sort of selling arms to them to do all that, I did think connected itself together really, really quite well. So I thought that was pretty good. It was an interesting way to play it out as a political distraction rather than kind of... Because, okay, Superman doesn't actually go there. It ends up being Guy Gardner, Hawkgirl, and the other guy. What's his name? Metamorpho ends up going there, isn't it? Because Mr. Terrific's a bit busy with the... What do you call it? The rift and everything. So I thought that actually worked out pretty well. I thought it made sense. I thought it fit into the film quite well. It is still a... Well, it's not actually really a side piece of the film at all, really, is it? Because... Of course, we've got Lex Luthor is hunting down Superman and trying to manipulate things, and obviously there's the message thing which gets manipulated, which I thought that was done pretty decently. I thought that ended up working out quite well. I think Hawkgirl kills that guy, which I'm fine with. That was pretty interestingly done. Is that a deep plot line in this film? Kind of, but not like... That's one thing I didn't really talk about is, okay, does this film go like deep with its themes and stuff? And obviously there's themes throughout this film. There's themes in every film, but almost films at least. I just thought that was done pretty well. So maybe we'll circle back around to that at some point. I didn't mind Supergirl's introduction in this film, because I kind of predicted, like, okay, she doesn't seem like she's in the film, like, in the film based on trailers and things that we've got. But she ends up being not quite a post-credit scene, but that scene could have been a post-credit scene, but kind of a... she stumbles into the Fortress of Solitude drunk and says some things and then goes off with Crypto. But I like how Superman was kind of, yeah, she's been deliberately going to Red Sun planet so that she can get drunk. I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure what they're doing with Supergirl. Obviously, they're doing a film, but apparently this one's going to be a bit more kind of... played off more as a rebel, if that makes sense. I'm not sure how that's gonna. I mean, we don't have, you know, trailer or anything to really go off of apart from what she's like here. I suppose the question is, okay, what is this Supergirl's personality going to be when she's not drunk? Although maybe she gets drunk a bunch of times in the film. I don't know. It's too early to say, but we only have that scene. But yeah, I liked how, because that is actually. Like, when I look at DC, and obviously when the DCEU became a bit of a mess, and no one was sure what was what, and all this sort of thing. And there was, you know, talk about, like, okay, DC might go more sort of a solo film route, and, you know, not have so many crossovers or connectivity, and, like, that kind of thing. And the thing I kind of continued to want from comic book films was, can we just have characters popping up in other characters' films, making small appearances... And then at the end of a film, you have a character that pops up, not necessarily because their film is next, but because they're going to be one of the next pieces. And this film did do both those things. You had Guy Gardner, Hawkgirl, and Mr. Terrific and all those popping up. I like their appearances. I like the amount that they're in this film. That was done pretty well. And then you end with, okay, Supergirl's next. And again, it doesn't have to be an appearance of the next character, because that might not always fit, but of course having Supergirl next and having her show up in a Superman film makes total sense. So if the DCU can keep doing those things, then I will like it more. But yeah, it had small appearances from other characters, which I thought was great, and then this Supergirl kind of set up at the end, which I thought was good as well, because that then leads us naturally into her next film. But I was kind of okay, that is what it is at the moment for her. We'll see what she's actually like in her film, and obviously when she's sober. I wonder if Crypto's going to be in her film. I have to wait and see, I suppose. What else do I want to talk about in the spoiler section? I thought it was quite sad when, obviously when Superman does get taken hostage by Lex, and he does the, what's the gun thing called? When you put a bullet in a revolver, you spin the thing around and you... Is it Russian roulette? I think it's that, right? And it's like, hey, I'm going to ask you this, and 1 out of 5 chance. And he unfortunately ended up killing the guy, which of course Lex was fine with. And he's like, hey, I'm just going to bring your Lois next. I'm just going to bring, you know, the next one along until you basically do what I want. So I just thought he was just absolutely fantastic. So that was pretty good. I didn't mind the whole dimensional rift thing, and I thought that was a decent little addition to the film. It helped with having characters get around a bunch, and then it created an interesting set piece at the end when, like, the city was getting, well, the world really, was getting kind of pulled apart. And then I liked how you got the LexCorp building and you got this bit in the middle. And I remember looking at that when they first showed a shot of it, and I was like, what about if that middle bit falls out? Turns out that's part of a ship or something that can just travel away. Because this rifting was going towards the building. I was like, okay, what's, you know, Lex has always got some sort of plan. I was like, okay, what's he going to do here with this though? And the building's going to crumble, but he's just going to fly off. So I thought that was pretty good. That was good as well. I didn't talk about Jimmy Olsen, did I? He was fine. I think there's lots of parts of this film, including him, that have been set up. There's things to work with. There's things to work with from this film. He's one of them. He was good. I do remember reading a leak about a year ago that he's got like a weird relationship with women or something. That turned out to not be anywhere near as bad as what it could have ended up being, and it made sense and actually weirdly tied into the main plot of this film. So He was all right. I had just neutral feelings towards him. Somebody else disappointed we didn't see more of, because I like Wendell Pierce as Perry White. He's just not in this film very much, and I like him. He was in Jack Ryan for all of the seasons, I think, all four of the seasons. So he's really good. But yeah, it just wasn't in this film much. Again, a sequel, you can kind of work on what you've got and do more, assuming this film gets a sequel. What else do I want to talk about with the spoiler section? What other scenes kind of stick out? Yeah, him being like, Superman being like kicked in the nuts. Again, came off as kind of goofy, along with the tooth punching scene. Thought the clone storyline was decent. I thought the training parts with that was interesting, like the B1, A2, do all these bits to kind of learn Superman's movements. I thought that was an interesting idea. What else was there in this film? There's a couple of decent jokes, a couple of decent lines and things like that that were sort of thrown in. The haircut line about Guy Gardner was, that got a chuckle out of the audience that I was with. By the way, there was a few members of the audience at the back that like gave this film, they started clapping at the end, although they were a little bit noisy throughout the film, so whatever. Like when it came up at the end, written and directed by James Gunn, they started applauding, so there you go. What else do I want to talk about? I feel like I'm missing so many things that I should be talking about. There was the fight with the big monster thing. That was alright. Again, I felt like Superman should have just been a bit stronger in certain fight scenes. So that was there as well. I did like the bit with when that desert area of that country started getting, you know, the tanks started invading and these kids are trying to lift up this flag with Superman's name. I thought that was quite good. Again, I was curious as to where they were going with that, but that actually worked out quite well. What am I not remembering from this? I feel like there's big parts I'm just not remembering to talk about. Daily Planet, I was going to say Daily Bugle, that's Spider-Man. Daily Planet looked good. I thought the scene with his dad, the good old Pa Kent and Mark Kent, especially with his dad when he's like, hey, I'm proud of you and all that, that worked pretty well for me. Didn't get me wept up or anything, but that worked out pretty well. They had a nice role here in the film. I like those two casting options, or choices rather. Those are pretty decent. You do see his Kryptonian parents, but only through like a message hologram thing. I thought Lex played that quite well. Again, Nicholas Holt just doing his thing. So that was quite good. I bought into the Clark-Lois relationship. I know I kind of mentioned that earlier. I suppose it would have helped if I felt like that scene was better between the two of them. I don't know, because that's like one of their earlier scenes together, is her trying to interview him about what's going on. And again, that whole scene just boggled my mind, to be honest. So that was in there. For Fortress of Solitude was good. Thought the robots were quite good. Yeah, it's a curious choice to start with Superman getting beaten up, but I guess that was their way of introducing things. That was an interesting choice. I guess it gets you introduced to Krypto and the fortress and the robots, and it gives you an introduction to the film. But yeah, it was alright. I suppose. So yeah, maybe I'll have some other reflections on this film, and I'll definitely still be thinking about it once I'm done with this as well. But I'm curious to see, like, if this film does get a sequel, him going up against like a Brainiac or any other like Superman villains. I'm drawing a total blank on names of Superman villains. But yeah, I guess I'm just curious now, like, someone who's a bit more opposite. What does the DCU Batman film look like? Because I do think they're going to try the more family-friendly approach. I mean, I think this was a 12... I mean, I don't pay attention to film ratings anymore because I don't need to. I think this was a 12A. There's a few little adult things in here, like a few of them. So I can see that rating being correct, I guess. But you just can't... You can't do this with Batman. It won't work. So... We shall see. Anyway, if there is any, because again, I'm just trying to like think back through the film and think of other scenes, and I've mentioned most of what I remember to or wanted to mention. So, yeah. But as always, if I did miss any bits, if there's any bits I didn't mention or bits you want to give me feedback on or whatever, of course you can always write in and maybe some sort of follow up or something. We shall see. Anyway, that's my review of 2025 Superman. Next one will be, yeah, Fantastic Four next weekend. I did have, by the way, I did notice that Drop is now rentable on Apple, and The Amateur. Those are two other films I was interested in. Amateur's just been added to Disney Plus. I'm going to do Fantastic Four before those two, though. And then at some point, I might check out Megan 2. I checked out Megan 1, so I might as well check out Megan 2. Those are some of the next films coming out, so just to let you know about the next reviews. But I'm also watching a couple of shows as well, so look out for reviews of those as well at some point. So anyway, thank you all very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.